to the mic. Feels so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know. But no, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even in starstruck. Humble through.
Shotgun snap to Brady, retreats in the pocket, steps up to the end zone. The throw will be intercepted. Lester has it. A flag goes down. A flag is thrown. Gronkowski, perhaps interfered with, or at least held by Keekly in the middle of the end zone. There will be another play here in Charlotte. Or is it on the Patriots? There will not be another play based on the reaction of the Panthers.
There is no foul on the play. This game is over.
A Monday Night Football classic. Four-man rush. Brady throws end zone, intercepted. Panthers win. Another penalty marker. We have a penalty flag, and the Patriots are clapping.
Nope.
They pulled it up. Pick the flag up, ref. Pick it up.
Foul on the play.
The Carolina Panthers have beaten the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Pick the flag up, referee. Pick it on up.
Unbelievable theater. The bandwagon had a flat tire. There was coolant leaking from the radiator, but it got to the house. Woo! Carolina 24, Patriots 20.
He's got a partner in crime.
There you go. A couple of varying positions on the same play last night. We welcome you into the zone today in the Fury Electric studio. It's good to be back in the saddle. I'm actually going to get a saddle installed here that I can sit on. So we could say saddle up in the zone. I'm going to buy some boots, some duster.
That's going to be great.
10-gallon hat, maybe a 9-gallon hat for my head.
Ride it hard and put it up wet.
Yeah, that's right, big guy. That's how we do this show every day.
Every day.
Home Welcome. Of the saddle sword.
So, you know what? You went too far there.
Too far. Yeah,
there
was a line.
Yep, you just crossed
and
it.
And it's clearly been crossed. Now it's established, though.
It's true.
The line has been established.
Can't know if you cross it unless you get there.
That's right.
Welcome. Justin Akery back. Matt Stell is here. Matty T, thank you very much. I said, how was it when I was gone? He said, it was great. I'm like, oh, you don't need me anymore?
Some of the best times I've had
yeah,
around here.
Yeah, he said, boy, it was awesome without you here sucking so bad. It's great.
Of course I didn't say that.
So last night, one of the stranger plays I've ever seen. I've never seen a play end on a penalty that was picked up, I don't think.
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
And I've watched a lot of football ever since I was a wee lad.
Since you were knee-high to a grasshopper.
Dude, I mean, I'm talking, when I came out of the womb, I put my head out and started looking for a TV.
That's right.
And they didn't even play football in April.
That's right. And then that's also back before they had it on TV everywhere. So, you know.
My mom's like, what's he looking for?
Is all you're looking for, like,
is there Canadian TV or anything on in here? Anything? What's on in April? Is the draft on?
You're just watching NBA in April and the start of baseball.
Yep. So we'll talk more about that play last night. I'm trying to get Sully to call in. Sully is my go-to guy for anything Patriot-related. He's got to be upset. Got to be hot.
Can I just say, I noticed two things. I have two observations from the end of that game.
Okay.
Number one, I've come full circle on Tom Brady. I used to not like Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady now because he ran in the locker room dropping F-bombs on the officials. That's number one. Number two, his lackey Ryan Mallett's running behind him saying the same things that he's saying. And at that moment, I noticed something, that Ryan Mallett looks exactly like a giant version of Jesse Pinkman. They are doppelgangers, man. They look. He had that beanie on.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know, you just expect him to say, you know, bro a lot or something, or that other
Yo!
Word.
Yo!
Yeah. Anyway, those are my two takeaways. I'm a Tom Brady guy now.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Because in a world where quarterbacks, like...
does everything the same? You think he stands up next to Tom in the urinal and tries to take a leak just like Tom, too?
Yeah, he does.
Because he chases him off the field, cussing officials the same way, tries to throw the ball like him, tries to do everything. He runs like him. I mean, they run exactly
they
the
run
same.
Exactly
they throw them
the
like
same.
6'8 40s.
Yeah.
So they got that going.
They run 6'8 30s, bro.
That's true.
They're not swift people.
No.
But when you can throw a football over them mountains,
yeah,
you don't have to be so swift. And that's why I love Tom Brady.
And Uncle Rico.
Yeah. Because Tom Brady, like, how many quarterbacks in the league can follow the officials in the tunnel just screaming F-bombs and other epitaphs over a terrible call?
There's only probably one other guy that get away with that, and that's Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Well, You know, Drew Brees probably could, but Drew Brees would never do something
I don't see
like
him
that.
Doing that, no.
No, I don't see Peyton Manning doing it. Literally, Tom Brady is the only person that would take advantage of that leeway. Not only can he do it, but he's got so much cred, he brings his backup to come help him
the other
case
thing
he
I...
sprangs his tongue.
I'm glad you said that because the other funny thing to me was he ran right up to the ref and he's jogging off with the ref, F-bombing him the whole way then. And then one of the other officials slows down. He's like, good, linesman, come back here because I got something for you too.
Break you off a little something, linesman.
Let me drop a couple F-bombs on your face.
Who threw the flag? Who picked the flag up? I demand accountability. And my favorite is when they put the giant like satellite sound cone, you know, they point it at what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know you're about to just be verbally assaulted, you know, or catch a verbal assault. So, you know, they're just going to get like one F-bomb in and then they're going to have to fade to black on mm-hmm. you. So, I don't know. I love Tom Brady now.
That's where though. A heads-up broadcaster apologizes in advance of Tom Brady's F-bomb laced
right.
rant. Yep.
That's right.
Well, it was a good moment. It was a bad call, but it was a good moment. And, yeah, Gronkowski got molested in the end zone if you missed it. The ball was thrown short, but to believe that Rob Gronkowski, the beast that he is, could not get back and make a play on that ball is a little bit, I think, short-sighted.
That was Kukli, right, that was holding him?
Mm-hmm.
That stud linebacker, mm-hmm. the one that went in front of all the Alabama linebackers that year.
He not only molested Gronkowski, he made zero attempt. He didn't even – nothing. I mean, his 100% focus was on molesting Gronkowski. There mm-hmm. was no looking for the ball, looking for the quarterback, playing his position.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, the dude's back was squared up with a goal line.
Yeah, they knew. They said, Gronk's going to get this ball. We're not going to let him get the ball. And they did not let him get this.
No, he did not
get
the ball.
He did not get this.
There were a couple of things going on. Obviously, they were trying to take him away. Did not do a very good job for most of the night and mm-hmm. really didn't do a very good job on that play. They got away with it. The other great battle, of course, was – and I do not like Aqib Talib. I've never liked him. I didn't like him when he was at Kansas. I think he's a punk. I think he's a me guy, not a fan. I do like Steve Smith, though. Who's also a me guy, mm-hmm. but very entertaining,
yeah,
and might be a Hall of Famer before it's all said and done. And he's about my size.
Yeah, and he also, you know, punches teammates in spring training. See, those are the kind of guys I want.
Michael Jordan punched his teammates, and look what happened. They won him 6 rings.
No, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I want a guy. I heard my college coach retweeted something the other day. He said, you know, bad players get bored, good players get better. This is talking about in practice. Bad players get bored, good players get better, great players battle. And that's what you want. You want fighting the dog
mm-hmm.
every day, all mm-hmm. the time, competitive. And that's what both of those guys are.
Well,
Talib's that way, too.
Yeah, he is. He's a fighter, and he's talented. I think he's kind of a knucklehead. And it got a little out of hand last night. Nobody got tossed out of the game. But
Thank
as
goodness.
Steve Smith points out in this soundbite, one of the great soundbites you'll hear all season long, one of the guys finished the game. One of the guys did not finish the game. And the guy who finished the game was part of a team that won the game. So he gets the soundbites to the victor.
Goes the soundbite spoils.
What happened on the touchdown?
Poor tackling.
What happened between you and Talib on the field early in the game?
I don't know. You go ask him because he didn't finish the game. Ice up, son. Ice up.
Ice up, son. Adding insult to injury right there.
That's exactly what
Literally,
it is.
Steve Smith. Dropping it on him. 24-20 your final. I still think the Patriots are a player, especially with a healthy team. But Panthers cleared a big hurdle last night, again proving that they are legitimate. And again, they're a team to me like Kansas City. Just enough offense and a really good defense to contend and be a problem. But I don't believe they're a championship team.
No, I mean, it's pretty proven. You got to have a pocket passer or at least someone who you know, you wouldn't call a dual threat guy.
Right.
I'm not saying it can't be done. It will be at one time. But when you get to the playoffs, you got to make those underneath throws. I mean, they pointed out, John Gruden pointed out how many times that Cam Newton can't throw it underneath for, you know, whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And
that's why I like Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson to me is a guy that is comfortable throwing from the pocket and playing in a conventional way, but he's also really good on the move.
And he can get you the first down when you need it.
I watched Colin Kaepernick the other day, and that dude, when he has to sit in the pocket and be a pro-style quarterback and just sit there and go through his progressions, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
And in fact, by the end of the game, I will give them credit. The Niners did a great job. If you missed it, by the way, I was in New Orleans over the weekend and got to go to the Saints game on Sunday against the Niners, which is great. And But what they did in the second half I thought was really smart. They would take away half of the field for him, and they would just roll him out, and they'd have a bunch of little short passes. So they'd either have a tight end rolled out that way out in the flat, or they'd run a back out that way, and it'd just be easy little passing plays. And if something didn't, you know, present itself quickly, he could pull it down and run. But it basically was like, I'm throwing to you, I'm going to pull it down and run it. And that worked for him, and they were more effective offensively that way.
But it won't work in the long run. You know who else they did that for? Jamarcus Russell. They do that for quarterbacks that can't go through their progressions and throw the ball well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm talking about relatively well. I mean, he's obviously an elite athlete. But you stack him up against, like, the Drew Breeses of the world. I mean, you can't run faster than Drew Brees can throw that ball.
That's true. He was very impressive the other day.
Oh, man.
That was fun. And he didn't even have a great game. He made a couple of boneheaded plays that I've never seen him make before. There was one where he tried to flip it over a dude, and he got picked off.
That was bad. But you know what? He's tougher than a 9-year-old squirrel, because to take a lick like he took. Man, his head, I thought his head was going to pop off. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought the buttons that hold his head on were gonna just pop off. His mouth is all bleeding. He lays on the ground for a minute. And he goes, all right, second down. I'm going to throw the ball again.
Yeah, he said, I love the quote he said. He goes, I was upset, and then a teammate came over and said they threw the flag, and I was fine then. And I'm like, there's a man who was focused with his eyes on the prize. We were fortunate enough to sit in the end zone where they kicked the game-winning field goal.
Oh,
and
yeah?
That place was it got to like 118 or 119 decibels in there. They kept showing the decibel meter on the big screen. Mm-hmm. That is a loud joint. My head was tingling.
Right.
It was so loud in there.
Yeah, that's really loud.
It was awesome. That was really a great experience. If you ever get an opportunity to go to a Saints game, do it. I've been to some pretty good places. I mean, I've been to, you know, obviously the Cowboys game over at Jerry's place. I've been to Lambeau Field for a Vikings game, which is pretty special environment.
That's big time.
When Favre was the quarterback and they were really good. This was the year after they won the Super Bowl, and then they went back that year, of course, and lost to the Broncos. Been to a Cincinnati game when they played Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And this was just a really good matchup, and obviously San Francisco's fighting for, you know, contention to stay in the playoff race because they're probably not winning the West. So it was a big game for both teams, and the Saints did not play nearly as well, especially offensively, as they did the week before. Part of that is, of course, the fact that the Niners' defense is exponentially better than the Cowboys.
This is true.
So, but it is a great experience if you ever get the opportunity. Not to mention, you can eat oysters after you watch the game, regardless of the outcome.
That's right.
So back to last night. It just is amazing to me. But I give Tom Brady credit. I mean, that's what a leader does. He says the right things afterwards. He dog cusses the officials running off the field because they did screw things up. But then buttoned up Tom Brady, combs his hair, takes a shower, puts on his nice
Texas Giselle.
Yes. Wears the outfit that she picked out for him, and then says stuff like this.
The calls or the rules, I mean, I know. Like I said, I didn't see it, so I wish it wouldn't have come down to that. I mean, I think there was plenty of plays we could have made, but it did. And, you know, they're going to make a call or they're not going to make the call. But we can play better than that.
He went from dog cussing, F-bombing an official all the way through the tunnel to, I didn't really see it. There's a dude, A, who doesn't want to get fined, B, who's being a pro and doesn't want to whine and complain after the game.
That's right.
You could whine and complain until you get to the tunnel. Then you have to put on your professional team leader hat.
I would have loved to have been just a fly on Ryan Mallett's beanie when those two were exchanging what they thought happened in the game after those officials had run off and told them that's enough.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit. Then Tom looks at Ryan and says, dude, we got to keep it together. He's like, all right. And they walk in the locker room.
What's more entertaining, an upset Tom Brady chasing down an official or an upset Bill Belichick putting on his extra smug hat after a game like that?
Oh, man. I would have loved it if Belichick could have caught up to the quarterback tongue-lashing train and, like, hitched his wagon to that and seen what could have happened there. That would have been epic.
Here's what Bill said after the game about the last play.
That was the last play of the game. I don't know what happened. There was a flag thrown, and then the game was over. I don't know.
The Patriot way, my friend.
Those
that is the
pros,
Patriot way.
Man. I'm going to watch the Pats play, I think the Browns or something, over here in the next, I guess, the first part of December.
In Cleveland?
No,
in
Foxborough.
I'd like to go to a game there. That'd be fun.
Well, I'll invite you if she can come up with another ticket.
Yeah, I don't think I think my traveling days are over. We're all out of money after a few days in New Orleans, as that goes.
That's right.
I did have some good food, though. I did hit a couple of joints I'd never been to before, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We'll talk more about it later.
Sounds good.
But what I like more about Bill Belichick is when he's asked this question that, you know, he really doesn't want to answer, but has to answer anyway, and so he answers it in his own Bill Belichick-y type way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, every team in the league has fast receivers. good receivers. We're going to see good receivers next week. We saw good receivers last week in Pittsburgh. I mean, just good receivers every week.
Somebody asked him, what did you think of the Carolina receivers? That's what he thought. Thought they were good.
They were good. They're all good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Dick Cheney of football.
Pretty
professional
awesome.
Professional football.
Last night, Razorback basketball notching a victory Oof. That they covered the spread, even though they did make it interesting late when they didn't necessarily have to.
What was the spread?
4, 5, 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were up 26, 24, 26.
Yeah, you had to be getting, it was pucker time if you bet on the Hogs last night.
Oh, man.
But they
I know
win.
Better than to bet on the Hogs.
89-70. I would have bet on them last night. I really would.
I can't
In fact,
bet
I told
on,
my buddy yesterday, I said, I would bet on them tonight.
I can't bet on the Hogs because it's better to bet on them earlier in the season because they won't give you the kind of home, you know, the line won't show the home court advantage like it really is towards the end of the year. But, man, I have too much vested in the Razorbacks. It clouds my judgment.
You want to hear kind of an awkward, this is sort of like games played on grass under the lights when the temperature's over 64.
Yeah.
But I saw a stat last night that Arkansas, it's either 37 or 39 is the number, and it's almost such an irrelevant stat, I almost don't even want to give it. But it is, Arkansas has won 37 or 39 in a row against non-conference unranked opponents since 2009. So the last time they lost to an unranked non-conference opponent at home was 09.
That would, if that was on ESPN, that would, like, underneath it would have said source Elias Sports Bureau.
Yes.
Because that's who, that's like, yeah.
I'll look it up here. I'll give you the exact number. But the bottom line for me, what that means is, and there is something to be said for this, is beating the teams you're supposed to beat at least. Because when you're losing those teams you're not supposed to lose to, that's really mm-hmm. annoying. You get very annoyed by that, don't you? I do.
Yep. Yeah, you can. But, you know, it's just to the point now to where I'm excited about, you know, Hog basketball because he's had the time to build this program to get the players in that he wants, and we're seeing some results early on with the talent that he's brought in. I mean, Alandis Harris is balling, making free throws, getting tough buckets.
Those are things I enjoy.
Yep.
Yeah, he was impressive last night. 21 points. He was perfect at the line.
11-11.
Man, I got to be honest. Big guys who can shoot free throws, I mean.
It's so special.
I'm talking, I get excited. I almost use a different word, but it's exciting to me. I get very excited when I see
big guys
making free throws because guess what? Especially under the new rules, they're going to have a lot of chances this year.
Those games are almost taking 2.5 hours, a basketball game is.
Razorbacks won 37 straight games at home against unranked non-conference opponents dating back to 2009. That's the number, 37. Okay, so 11 of 11 at the line, 21.6 rebounds. One turnover in 23 minutes. I love you, Alandis Harris. Thank you for coming to Arkansas.
Did the Hawks have 13 turnovers last night?
13 as a team, forced 18. Didn't force enough, but they definitely took care of the ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, 13's on the high side of average, you know, of acceptable. A team like us, if we're going to try to force turnovers, it does no good to force turnovers if you're giving them right back. We need an 8 to 10 difference in a turnover battle against
like
a non-conference opponent.
Yeah, force about 24 and I'll feel fine.
We need force them to 20, around 20, keep us around 10. You know, that's the margin you want. Out rebound them by a handful, and that's a recipe for a Razorback win.
You go back to even the primetime teams. We've talked about this before on the show. Those teams did not regularly out rebound people. It mm-hmm. does not matter. Arkansas does not have to out rebound people to win games. UALR has to out rebound people to win games.
Yeah, there's only two ways in the game of basketball to get more shots than your opponent. Only two. Offensive rebounds and turnovers. And if you're winning one of those battles sizably, you're getting more chances than the next guy. That's why that stat matters so much. And if we're forcing turnovers, our turnover margin is good, and we're hanging close on offensive rebounds,
that's me.
Then you got a good chance. You got more shots than the other team.
Arkansas had 12 offensive rebounds to 15 for SMU last night. They were without a McDonald's All-American. How Larry Brown got a McDonald's All-American to come to SMU, I have no idea.
He has an NBA name, Hall of Famer.
I understand
connections.
That. I guess if you want to be the go-to guy and average 20 and 12, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, in this day and age, I mean, with all the exposure in
good
media,
point.
You can go anywhere. That's a good fit, and you're going to get exposure. I mean, think about the kid that's at he plays for the Jazz now, but was at Butler. 6'8", Haywood, Brendan Haywood.
Yeah,
Gordon Haywood. Yeah, Brendan Haywood's a forward. Anyway, you know, you're a place like Butler, and you get plenty of looks. I mean, it's not falling through the cracks.
Well, the fact that they made it to the national championship game helps too.
That is true, but I'm saying it's still
right.
You're right.
If you're good enough, they'll find you. Look, you can play
now so more than ever.
Yeah, if you're a stud in FCS football or even Division II in some cases, you're going to be fine.
That's right.
21-6, Alandis Harris. 17-6 for Michael Qualls, and Arkansas shot the lights out from beyond the arc. 11-22. I'll go ahead and say this. If they shoot 50% from beyond the arc, they're going to win almost every game this year.
We're going to be all right.
Yeah, that's just fine. And note to self and everyone else who didn't think that it could be done, you will get opportunities to shoot jump shots from the three-point line in this offense. So for those of you, Rodney Clark, for those of you out there who didn't think it could be did, there you go.
Yeah. This kind of offense is an offense for good players. It generally skews towards athletes, but there's room in a motion offense for what you do well.
Not quite more free throws made than the other team attempted, but that's always a fun stat too. Arkansas 28 made, SMU 29 attempted.
What did we shoot from the line?
28 of 37. That's a pretty good percentage, right around 76% for those of you scoring at home. I will also say if Arkansas shoots 76% from the line, they're going to have a good year as well. It's pretty good. Love when teams make free throws.
Yep, there's the sun is rising on the Razorback program. It's on the
Hopefully we'll be saying that about the football team.
It's a bullish basketball market in the state of Arkansas.
Arkansas football this weekend at the stadium, 11:21. Pre-game at 7:30.
Come on.
Breakfast with the Hogs and Baz.
And do you know what we're doing that night? We're going to the Rev Room.
That's right.
To watch my third favorite band ever, which is my band.
That's it. You get to go see Boom Kinetic Friday at the Rev Room to get warmed up. Then you go to the game. Then you get to party all night with Matt Stellan. On Sunday, you sleep until about 7.
That's right. P.M. That's right.
Will you be playing this song, Troubles?
If you want to hear it.
I'm requesting it.
All right. We're getting listener requests.
Matt, are you going to go out Saturday night?
I always go out on Saturday night.
That's right. Matty's going
to try to keep me in on a Saturday night, Justin. I dare you.
Be a buzz table.
Take a whole team of people to keep him down.
Come meet all the buzz stars and see all the girls in their dresses and high heels.
The holidays,
the game day dresses,
and game day dresses. That's right. The holidays are upon us as well. We're going to talk about the U.S. Capitol Christmas tree. You know, it's rolling up through Little Rock this week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where's it coming from?
Like today, actually, you can catch it here in Little Rock.
Where do they murder that tree?
I don't have any details, but I know that Libby does, and she's going to weigh in on it in just a little bit. So stay tuned.